that help? There we go. Start again. Good morning and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church on this Veterans Sunday. If you are visiting with us, I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan, and I am leading worship today. Kim Wise is our liturgist. Valerie Hildreth is sharing her talents on the flute, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ for us this morning. If you are visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out a welcome card, and you can leave it in the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary here. If you are visiting with us at home, I invite you to leave a message on Facebook. And if anybody has questions about the church or wants to know more about our mission and ministries, you can call our church office at 614-882-3155. We have several flowers on the communion table this morning. The flowers this morning are given by Todd and Kim Wise in honor of their wedding anniversary, and so we congratulate you. The roses on the communion table are for Thea Jordan Henson, granddaughter of Chris and Jen Henson, and Griffin Thomas Eves, grandson of Bill and Marcia Eves, and so we celebrate with both those families. I mentioned earlier that this is our Veterans Sunday celebration, and we will honor and thank our veterans here this morning. During worship, the veterans that are here in the sanctuary are invited to come forward to be recognized, and we'll call you forth at that time. The Dine Out group met last Friday, and we celebrate with them. If you are interested in when they meet again in December, you can talk to Jim Hines or contact Bob Place. Next Sunday, we'll be holding our Hanging of the Greens event in preparation of Advent. Yes, Advent is that close. Advent begins November 28th, so after worship next Sunday, we will gather here at the front of the sanctuary and take our assignments to put up the wreaths and the garlands and the ribbons and all those things that are part of our decorations for Advent. And anybody who would like to help is welcome to do that. Just gather up here at the end of the service next Sunday. Also a reminder that the stewardship committee is set next Sunday as Pledge Dedication Sunday. The pledge cards have been sent out earlier this fall, and you're invited to return them. Certainly if you have them here, you can put them in the offering plate, or you can send them to the church treasurer. If you haven't filled one out, the Pledge Dedication Sunday would be a good Sunday to get them filled out. And your pledges help the session of the church make plans for the coming year. I have a note here that the Westerville Habitat Partnership will have a pizza fundraiser on Tuesday, November 23rd at Cardinal Pizza, located at 10 East Main Street in Westerville. Enjoy pizza all day. Just mention the Westerville Habitat Partnership for the donation. No flyer is needed. Just remember, Cardinal Pizza here in Uptown, and you on Tuesday, November 23rd. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. The church gathers in the name of Jesus Christ. We come to worship God, the one who gave us our Redeemer. Let us worship in spirit and truth.
Please be seated, although I am going to invite those veterans who are here with us this morning to come stand up in the front and join us up here, and you can spread yourselves out at the through the front. And Lane, if you would come on up here as well. It is always an honor to have this moment in church. We recognize those who have served in our armed forces. This is a special Sunday for us, and we want to spend a few moments recognizing our veterans, and I'm going to Lane, who has been the lead on this project. I'm going to turn this over to him.
Thank you, Mark. And it is a privilege for me to mention members of our congregation that serviced us through the years. I would like to, as I announce your name, please take a step forward so that people recognize who you are. That's going to be a problem, but we'll get it taken care of. Okay? If I call your name and you're not here, I'm sorry that you couldn't make it this morning, but you're still being recognized. Okay? Dave Beeman, U.S. Army. Norm Brown, U.S. Air Force.
You can raise your hand if you'd rather there.
John Cameron, U.S. Army. Glenn Carlton, U.S. Navy. William Deskins, U.S. Army. Mike Etling, U.S. Army. Gary Harvey, U.S. Army. Jeffrey Hoff, U.S. Marine Corps. Jim Hines, U.S. Navy. Gary Hinsman, U.S. Air Force. Ed Hyde, U.S. Army. John McElhaney, U.S. Air Force. Marty Moon, U.S. Air Force. William Nesbitt, U.S. Army. Roger Pulley, U.S. Air Force. Wayne Springer, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. John Robbins, U.S. Army. David Weinberg, U.S. Army National Guard. That's the list. That's what I have.
That's it. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you for your service, and please return to your seats.
You will see also in our bulletin an insert of deceased members. These are recently deceased members who were also military veterans, and many of you turned in names of family members who are veterans or were veterans, and we are thankful for all of them and for the families that supported and continue to support them. And now for Veterans Day, let us join together in the litany that's published in the bulletin. Today, we remember all those who have served our country's armed forces to preserve the freedoms that our Creator has granted us, to make it impossible for those who would take away those freedoms from prevailing, for the men and women who serve in the Air Force, Army, Navy, Marine Corps, and Coast Guard. For the family members who have made great sacrifices in order to make it possible for their service members to be on watch at home or around the world, or go into harm's way. For families who grieve the death of a member who went in harm's way, never to return. Jesus tells us that no one has greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend, for all those veterans who have been willing to lay down their lives for us. For the veterans of past wars who bear the scars on their bodies and spirits. For veterans who came home but couldn't fit in with their families or their communities anymore. Keep all our veterans in your care. Grant them the peace that they sought to preserve for others. As we honor our veterans, we also pray for peace. Teach all your people the ways of peace, that those who have sacrificed so much for peace and freedom will not have done so in vain. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Please stand. Amen. Please be seated. I'm going to ask for the attention of the children who are with us this morning, whether they be here or at home. I have something that Mr. Huff put together. It's a t-shirt that shows an American flag, and it says thank you. And then it has, I should have had someone hold it for me. I can do this, so. I can do it. Thank you, Heather. Right down here is two little tags that are on a chain, and these are what people in the military wear. It's part of their uniform, and it has their name and a little bit of information about them. And so this is something, a thank you for veterans that we just recognized here a moment ago in the service. But I was thinking that, you know, we have Veterans Day once a year. It comes on November 11th, this being the closest Sunday to 11th. We celebrate Veterans Day on that Sunday that's closest to November 11th. And we say thank you. But you know something? We should be saying thank you to our veterans all around the year. And so this t-shirt, whoever wears this t-shirt will remind people to say thank you to our veterans. And I was thinking you all could say thank you in a way. You could write a thank you note to a veteran. And if you brought it here to the church or sent it to the church, we would see that the veterans that you saw standing up here would get it. Or you could send it, maybe you have someone in your family who's a veteran, an uncle or a cousin, or somebody maybe who's still in the military, you could send that thank you note to them. And I think that would be a nice way to thank and remember them. And my guess is that anybody who received a letter from a young person like that would appreciate it. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for our veterans and for the service they performed. We thank you for your blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and help us to remember our veterans and all your blessings this day and always. Amen. Thank you.
you, Valerie and Lynn. That was beautiful. Thank you. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Psalms, chapter 33, verses 13 through 22. So listen for the word of God. The Lord looks down from heaven. He sees all humankind. From where he sits enthroned, he watches all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all and observes all their deeds. A king is not saved by his great army. A warrior is not delivered by his great strength. The war horse is a vain hope for glory, for victory, and by its great might it cannot save. Truly, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love, to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. Our heart is glad in him because we trust in his holy name. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. The word of the Lord. And our second reading is from the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 17. So please listen again for the word of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armor of God so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand there, therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you, Kim, and thank you, Valerie, for your gifts here this morning. I was told that there was a bit of a glitch in the opening part of our live stream, and so I'm going to repeat a couple of announcements just for those at home and to drill it into our own heads. And most important ones are that next Sunday, following the worship service, will be our hanging of the greens and getting ready for Advent, which begins on November 28th. So if you're would like to help with that, and all help is welcome, you can meet up here at the front of the sanctuary after worship next Sunday. Also, the Habitat Partnership will have a pizza fundraiser on Tuesday, November 23rd at Cardinal Pizza, located at 10 East Main Street in Westerville. Enjoy pizza all day. You can do this. Just mention the Westerville Habitat Partnership and your donation will be credited. And so we thank you for both those and hope everyone got those announcements. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for your word. And we ask that as we contemplate it here this morning, your Spirit may guide my words and all of our thoughts so that all may be pleasing in your sight. Amen. Again, I want to thank our veterans for their service to our country, and I'm glad we can celebrate this service here this morning. I am not a veteran myself, so I cannot fully understand what it is like, but I can appreciate the commitment, the dedication, and the courage it takes to be a member of our armed forces. I'm also impressed that some of you wore your uniforms today, and I want to say you look good in them. I am, while I was up here, I was picturing you all in your uniforms, because I'm sure you looked impressive in those days. I've always liked the look of uniforms. As a kid, I remember when I got my first uniform, and that's in quotes. It was when I joined a little league team, and they issued us all t-shirts that matched. I thought that was so cool. That was my first uniform, but my first full uniform came when I made the freshman basketball team in my high school. And I should qualify that. I didn't make the freshman team. I made the freshman B team my freshman year, which meant that we got the hand-me-downs of the hand-me-down uniforms. I distinctly remember my traveling uniform looked quite good on me, but my home uniform was not quite as nice. My home uniform had a top that was super tight, and I didn't have the muscles to show off. Meanwhile, the bottoms, the shorts, were super big, which meant that when I went up for a jump shot, I came down with a parachute for my pants. And since this was my home uniform, everybody at the school would see how ridiculous I looked. Fortunately, the freshman B basketball team did not get many fans. I wonder what Paul would have thought of my freshman B team basketball uniform. I think he would have understood the activities that require uniforms, including the practice of our faith, as we can see from the passage that Kim read from Ephesians today. Paul wrote this wonderful letter when he was in prison, and though we cannot be sure where, Rome would be a good guess. Wherever it was, he would have been able to see his guards and the Roman soldiers wearing their military uniforms, a belt around the waist to protect the vulnerable midsection, a breastplate across the chest to protect the heart from being pierced, a large rectangular shield that would cover the whole body when one crouched behind it, making it a perfect defense against arrows, a helmet which protected the head against blows from a club or a sword, and finally, a sword that a soldier could use in combat. Paul may have even seen the soldiers on maneuvers and watched these fully outfitted men marching side by side in their attack formation. They held out their large shields in front of them as they marched steadily forward towards their enemy. Together, these men formed a moving wall of armor that thwarted all the defenses until the Romans were right on top of their enemies. It was this sort of military attack that made the Roman army feared throughout the ancient world. And so it shouldn't surprise us that Paul chose such imagery because he wanted to convey something powerful about our faith as Christians. And the armored uniform of the Roman army was about as humanly powerful as one could get. And that was the sort of power he wanted his hearers to have as they considered their own faith. Now, I like Paul's use of the imagery of armor and swords, but part of it I have a problem with is that there's such violence inherent in such military metaphors. For Paul and his listeners who had to deal with the Roman soldier all the time, this imagery may have been second nature, but for me, well, I found it a bit jarring as I tried to visualize the destruction that such imagery implied. And so I began to wonder, if Paul were writing here in Westerville today, what imagery might he use to convey the same message in a different time and place? And I thought about it and said he might suggest the uniform of a football player, the armor of helmets and shoulder pads. Or perhaps he would have spoken of the gear that a baseball catcher puts on, the masks and chest protectors. But these uniforms from sports do not carry the urgency and the sense of life and death that Paul's military images convey. And then this week I was driving past the fire station just as the fire trucks were pulling out with their sirens blaring, and I thought, now here was an image that Paul might have used. For the helmets of the firefighters protect their head from injury of falling debris, while the rubber boots give them traction on slippery floors, and heavy coats shield the firefighter from burning sparks and embers, and the oxygen mask keeps them from breathing poisonous fumes. The firefighter carries an axe or a spear to break down barriers and to properly defeat the fire. And I thought, yeah, maybe Paul would use imagery of a firefighter in a firefighter's uniform if he were writing his letter today. And I was all set to use this firefighting imagery to shift Paul's argument, but then I thought, even firefighting does not convey the full power of Paul's message. Paul uses military images not just because it was something commonly seen in the world that he inhabited, but because he wanted to convey to his listeners the power that is involved with faith. The power of evil in the world and the power of properly equipped faith to overcome it. Nothing was more powerful in those days in human terms than the Roman army with its armor and shields and swords. But as powerful as that was, Paul is assuring his listeners and us that we had something, access to something even more powerful. For Paul, we are equipped in the uniform of faith, which is no match for the powers and principalities of this world. We have the equipment needed for the spiritual battles that we all face. Listen to the uniform of faith that Paul would have us wear. Truth. We are protected by the truth of God because it reminds us that there are things that are right and things that are not right. There are boundaries in the life of faith, and we protect those boundaries. Righteousness. Often Paul uses this term describing a person's behavior, but it is more than that. He is describing a person's position. Think of righteousness as right standing. Right standing with God, the one who has the proper orientation in life. In this case, one knows that one is defending what one is defending and who it is that stands behind us. Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, and blessings follow the peace of God. You might remember making up with someone after a nasty fight. It feels good to be friends or lovers again. That's some of the good stuff of peace brings about. Peace brings more than peace. Shalom, as the Old Testament would say, is all about what is right in all parts of God's world. There is a wholeness to the world when there is peace, and there is justice for those who are victims in the world so that they can also enjoy the benefits of peace. And then Paul mentions that we need to wear faith, not just of our response to God, but of God's faith in us. God so loved the world and each of us that God gave us Jesus as our living connection to God. God's faith in us was so strong that though Jesus chose to risk the building of the kingdom, he risked the building of the kingdom to a bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, foundry workers, delivery drivers, and the like, because God uses all of us to continue to build the kingdom. And God, and Paul tells us to put on salvation. Oh my, how sweet it is that God so loved us, that Jesus was given to us for our salvation. We may not fully understand, but we can fully appreciate. To know that Jesus thought we were worth it. We enter the battle of life with this knowledge. And in that sense, what more protection do we need? And then he says to arm ourselves with the word. The commands of our general, our God, are written out for us. And these are the words that give us direction in life, guide us through our daily battles, and comfort us in our disappointments and defeats. It is the word that helps us to know the truth, righteousness, peace, and faith and salvation that God gives to us. That is our uniform of faith. And so we have this uniform that we cannot really put on. And so in that sense, we go into life's battles not like soldiers with swords and shields, or firefighters with oxygen masks and heavy coats, or even football players with helmets and shoulder pads. We go into our battles without any of those outward protections. But that's what Paul is telling us. He wants us to fight the battles of life not with blows taken with a sword, but with the word from Scripture. He wants us to defend ourselves not by hurting others, but by relying on God's faith in us. When we are thus closed, we are more protected, not less. My father was a beekeeper in his day. He started this little hobby of his. And when he did, he bought the whole beekeeper outfit. The white suit that covered you from head to toe, the heavy boots that you wore and stuck the ends of those that white suit into so that no bees could crawl up your legs. He had that pith helmet hat with the netting that went around it and that attached down to the white suit that you wore. So even if the bees flew around you, they couldn't get in to sting you. And he had that smoker thing. I'd have never learned the real name for that smoker thing. Anyway, used to calm the bees down so he could work with them. All that so he wouldn't be stung by a bee. And he did his beekeeping regularly. And what he discovered was that if he was patient with the bees and moved slowly, treated them with respect, he didn't actually need the helmet or the netting. He could tend the bees by relying on the protection of his own confidence. And that's what Paul is telling us, that we have a uniform of faith, a protection that makes us strong in the Lord. And if we have that, that is all the protection we need to face the world with the love of God behind us. Amen.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Let us take a moment and offer our silent prayers before God, and then I'll lead in our common prayers. Let us pray. Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious and loving Creator, we come to you today in the name of Jesus. It is good to be able to come into your house and have this time to put aside the cares of life and the busyness of living. We're so often hurrying about, planning, preparing, fixing, organizing, worrying about how everything is going to turn out. Even while we're here in this moment of worship, those thoughts tend to drown out your voice and what you want to say to us. We do want to hear from you because we need to know again and anew today that you're there and that you know us and where we are in our walk with you. For some here today, this present moment is filled with disappointment or heartache. There are some whose circumstances may be dreadful and filled with reasons for sadness and sorrow, and they need you. They need us, and they need the comfort of being in fellowship with you and with each other. Lord God, we do receive encouragement and hope from being here in your presence. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of our brothers and sisters and speak a word of encouragement. And we do care about each other, and we do want to show it. Lord God, we thank you for our military veterans and for the service they have rendered on our behalf through their sacrifice and toil. We thank you that they are with us to bear witness for us to the freedoms we enjoy and the price of those freedoms. In the same way, we give thanks for those who gave their lives in service to this country and continue to ask blessings upon their families for the burdens they have borne. May we be ever grateful. And now, O Lord, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please stand for the congregational response. May you go in peace, and may the blessings of God be yours this day and every day. Amen.